Welcome back to Capstone News Now. This is your host, Jordan Laporta, and we have a very special show planned for you today. We've covered a lot on campus politics this year. It's been really a jam-packed session since we've got back from the summer in terms of SGA and things going on of that nature. And we have a really interesting panel of young women here to talk to us about the big elephant in the room here at the University of Alabama in terms of the Student Government Association. And that's the M word, the machine. And we've brought in four different individuals that have been willing to come forward and talk about their own personal experiences. They're all sitting here with me right now. And I'm going to, instead of introducing them myself and totally not giving them the credit that they deserve, I'll let them introduce themselves to you going around. How about you, Alex? You go ahead and go first.
Yes, and thank you so much, Jordan, for having us on the show. My name is Alex Smith, and I'm a sophomore here studying political science.
My name is Megan Smith, and I am a senior from Hartselle, Alabama, and I'm studying economics and political science.
I am Keely Mallory. I'm from Colorado, and I'm a junior here studying business management and public relations.
I'm Hayley Lindsay, and I am a psychology major, minor in biology, and currently living in Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, thank you all for coming here. I really appreciate your willingness to sit down with me. It's not something that happens every day. It's not an opportunity that I get every day. So I'm not going to let it go to waste, hopefully. So the first thing that I wanted to talk to you each individually about is just kind of go around and talk about how you believe, if you do believe, the machine is a bad thing, and then why. And why you decided individually to come forward and talk about it. We'll go ahead and start with you, Hayley. How do you feel about it?
The machine, I just feel like it's just something that when we first, you go through a rush and you fall in love with the house. It's not something that you know about. And so, as Kiwi has said in the past,
that you don't pledge the machine. And so, I feel that it's like a political party, so they have a voting block and they try to get people to have their own people in their office. And so, I just feel like there is some pros and cons to it. It, for them, in the eyes of the Greek community, it creates unity. And then, but it also creates a Greek and non-Greek divide on campus. And also, they don't like healthy competition. So in the few years, the past couple of years, there has been some competition with me running for homecoming queen and Elliot Spillers running for SGA president and him also running previously before that for a vice president position. And they just think of tactics, ways to tear down the competition of the non-machine candidate. And even like me, for example, being a part of a sorority that's in machine, have not, my sorority sister has not allowed them to support me publicly.
Hold on. Before we move on, I do want to ask you that, because that's something that's unique to you. You ran for homecoming queen, as a lot of people I'm sure remember, and did not win. And there was a lot of coverage on this show about people in your sorority being influenced to vote a different way, even though you were in your own sorority. That you were in their own sorority. My apologies. Like, how... I mean, how can that possibly feel? I mean, to me, on the outside looking in, I have no experience with the Greek community. I'm not a member of a fraternity, but the way I understand it, a sorority is supposed to be a group of sisters that they work together, they lift each other up, they're all about helping each other. And how does that feel to have the people that are supposed to have your back turn away from you?
Yeah, exactly. They didn't support me at the time when I felt like I needed it most, especially a lot of my sorority sisters who have supported, like my boyfriend Elliot Spillers in the past. So I knew they were capable of doing it, but it's just something that gets exhausting and you have to be consistent. But I just felt like they didn't have enough energy to do it at that time, even to support me as one of my friends. They're my friends even more over like just a sorority sister. And so it was definitely heartbreaking, but I was just trying to be understanding and still loving the best I can, being the bigger person. But like going into it, I thought they were able to support me, but I guess I was kind of naive and like really kind of just drawn back. And then like even just telling the freshmen who did not know anything, like we didn't really tell anyone anything until like when candidacy got announced. And then so it's just really like heartbreaking, especially seeing like one of the freshmen that I've gotten really close with. She was like right at the Tsunas, like 8 a.m. the announcements was able to be allowed to announce your candidacy, she was like posting for me and telling her freshman group me like, hey guys, we can still support Haley, and the Alpha Gam is not supporting her, but she's running through Blinn. And then she just gets a block call, and then later she tells me she can't support me anymore. And I just think that's just so heartbreaking, like her having to go through that, and then her only being like a second month in school and having to deal with something like that. She can't support one of what she calls me as a role model, and I just think that's really heartbreaking. But all of it was just very hard, especially like me living in the house and like them voting down a sign, not being able to put up for me. That was just hard too, because I had to walk in the house every day and just like still see that there. But it was definitely eye-opening, and it was a great time, though, to see those true sisters, because I had a lot of sisters that would still be able to stand up and fight for me and support me no matter what, even if they were told not to. Even though no one was, like, told not to, but they just felt like they had the courage to do it, and I was just really proud of them.
So let's go ahead, keep going around the circle. Thank you, Haley, by the way. So, Keely, what about you? What about your experience with the machine? Why did you feel like you wanted to come forward?
I feel like now is just a really influential time, especially for women to come forward and say, hey, we're sick of being controlled by this underground group who just thinks that they can come in and tell these wonderful, qualified women that they don't get this position. And I think it's time that, especially here on campus with, you know, the SGA issues last year, the race issues, we as women have so much power. And if we can come forward and talk about, like, we're not okay with this. We're not okay with these hidden people telling us what to do. Like, for me, last year in my sorority, I could see how split everything was. And one of the machine-backed people, they said, if this person wins, then we'll give one of my sorority sisters a position on his panel. And I was like, no, like, this is the 21st century. We're women who earn positions. Like, we don't need to be given these handouts just to satisfy this, like, the feminist movement. And so I just felt like I was sick of being given these handouts, and I wanted to say something and inspire my friends to really stand up and, you know, think for themselves. I mean, whether the machine is considered negative or positive, you have to be able to have your own opinion on campus, and I think that's what really should matter, is taking the time to think for yourself.
And you made a really good point, something that I was going to bring up later, but we'll go ahead and address it now. So, no, that's fine. So the machine, as far as I can remember, and as far as our research has shown, very rarely ever puts up women for executive positions. So just logically speaking, I could never really comprehend this carte blanche support that a lot of these sororities will give when they're not even giving women a chance to take these high positions. I mean, why, like you said, why would you just want to take a position that's given to you instead of having a woman run for SGA president? Do you have any thoughts on why some of the sororities you feel like put up with that without being given any real, and anybody can go ahead and jump on this one, without being given any real power? I mean, at least that's how it appears to me. I want to hear y'all's thoughts.
I know that their biggest argument is, we're not going to mix with you, we're not going to swap with you or socialize with you. And I think that it's come to the point where we're a bigger entity. We're the majority on campus as sorority members. And I think that we need to be able to stand up and say, hey, we don't care. We're not going to swap with you. Like, what do you have to offer us, really? And that's their biggest thing. And They obviously go after the freshmen, and freshmen come to campus, they join a sorority, partying is definitely a big thing for them. And so if an older member or somebody's telling you, hey, like, they're going to get rid of swaps, they're going to get rid of block seating, all this, like, elaborate stuff, then they're going to believe them without doing their own investigation and figuring out what's actually true. I
don't know. And by the time you figure it out, it's like you're junior or Alex, like a sophomore, like, and then you feel like it's almost too late.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with what Haley just said.
As a freshman, I thought the machine was the coolest thing in the world. I grew up loving politics, thought it was something that was so interesting, always knew I wanted to be involved with SGA here. I remember being a senior in high school and sitting and like Googling articles about the machine, because there was just something that was so, interesting about it, and I could never pinpoint what it was. So I was on first year council my freshman year, and it was a natural transition for me to run for Senate my sophomore year. And I did, and was backed by the machine, and got there. and started to realize what my role was at Senate meetings on Thursdays. And I can remember sitting there, and as it dawned on me, and I kind of went through this period of, I guess, disillusionment, for lack of a better word, I started to realize that I was really just a pawn in something that was so much bigger, and something that nobody really cared what my voice was or what I had to say. And it became so disheartening and so discouraging to not only realize the mistake I had made, but how other many girls in my pledge class and girls who were older than me had fallen victim to the same kind of thing that I had fallen victim to. And I think it's so important for sororities to really look introspectively and say, where do we find our worth? And for me, that worth shouldn't come from whether or not a fraternity will swap with you. That worth has to come from, like you said, Jordan, you know, sorority sisters, we're supposed to help each other. We're supposed to be there. And I think we're also supposed to call one another to a higher standard, even if that means having a tough conversation. And I have another good friend, and we were talking about this entire situation, and she was saying, you know, it really bothers me that when you talk to a girl and she's going through rush, you don't say you have such a diverse opinion or you have such a unique perspective and you'll bring so much to our house and you'll challenge our members in such a unique way. It's, you're just like us. Come sit with us. You can be like us. And it's, to me, I think the process of empowering women comes from encouraging each other to think critically and seek out kind of a higher knowledge, and the machine completely takes that away and demeans that purpose that I believe a sorority at every other university holds. And so I think it's really important for us to kind of realize what we're doing by playing the machine's game within our houses. I think it's really, really important that we realize that we're not only supporting a system that doesn't support us, but we're also reinforcing the fact that women are not enough to have their own voice and to uphold standards that challenge one another and push one another.
Now, Alex, kind of coming over to you, you talked a lot about this, and the empowerment issue was something that you discussed in your article and that you discussed in our last sit down when you came on the show. But do you feel like now that people like you and the women that are seated in this room right now that more and more people are starting to speak out, are starting to say, enough is enough, do you feel like women can start to maybe see a little bit of a surge in terms of political power here on campus because of actions like what's going on here?
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. You know, the more people you have come forward and the more people you have stand up and start voicing their opinions, the more you're going to have join you. And I think when you have really influential people like these other girls I'm sitting with here come forward and tell their stories, and especially hearing Haley and about running for homecoming queen and just like the trials and tribulations she's been through, and how she still overcame that, and she's still here today, and she's still talking about her opinions and what she believes, and she's still sitting here encouraging other girls to come out and to be to empower others and to be themselves. I think that as long as girls like these continue to do that, then I really don't see that stopping. I feel like things are definitely changing on campus, and people are starting to see the machine's true colors and the things that they're capable of and the things that they do to suppress voices and to suppress sororities. And I think that the momentum's just kind of picked up, and hopefully it won't falter.
Now, we kind of touched on the gender issue a little bit in terms of the machine and how they treat sororities, but the other side of the coin is the race issue, and it's something that's been pretty big, not just here at the University of Alabama, but really it's been an issue at multiple universities across this country. And I mean, just because of the university that we go to, it's an inherent part of our history. I mean, Foster Auditorium, George Wallace, stand at the schoolhouse door, is only 50-something years ago. So I just kind of want to get your perspectives on what role the race plays in the machine, if it does. I have a hunch as to what the answer to that question is. But, and if it does play a role, is it something that's kind of subtly hinted at, or is it something that's a little bit more overt? And I'll let whoever wants to jump in at this one first go ahead and take a swing at it.
I mean, it's pretty obvious that it's an institutional problem. I mean, if you look at the racial composition of sororities, I mean, we just had that whole issue come to light. I mean, it's 2015, and I think it took until was that 2013 when all of that went down? Yeah, 2013. And we have a long way to go as a whole, as a university. But I think it is a microcosm of something bigger, a bigger problem that's going on. But yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. Haley, you're nodding.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. Because, like, I just joined my sorority of a couple years ago. And so that's when, like, the integration happened when I joined. It was a very pivotal point on campus. And I know they are probably right now, especially with how the media portrayed my campaign, saying, like, oh, the first African-American girl in her sorority, they won't support her, so they think it's, like, a racist problem. But, and actually, I know they're probably trying to groom, like, the a lot of great African-American girls that came through Rush and want to back them, have be machine-backed. And so they're probably just waiting, like, wait, just wait another year. We will get them out there. And, but, like, what Megan was saying is definitely a microcosm, because, like, those girls will be used as a token just because they're black, and they're going to be used to be machine back just to make give the machine a good look.
And I also know that a lot of people want to say, you know, well, there are African-American girls in sororities now. You know, we have integrated and desegregated the sororities. But I know I distinctly remember going through Rush last year, and I was walking out the door on the second day, and I saw a young girl, and she was African-American. I walked up to her, and she just looked very nervous. She looked very overwhelmed. She looked like she was almost in tears. And I walked up to her, and I was like, you know, are you okay? Is there anything I can do for you? And she was like, I'm so nervous. And she was like, I just feel so uncomfortable right now. And she was like, but this is something I want to go through with. And, you know, I want to be a part of the Greek system. And that, and it broke my heart to see a girl just so torn up, knowing and that she was so unwelcomed and feeling like she was so out of place. And no incoming freshman should ever feel that way.
Yeah. Now, hold on, wait. Before we move on, you hit on something that I was going to get to about this, is that there are, and I haven't looked at all of the statistics to this in terms of, like, who rushes, who doesn't rush, the number of people that rush. You all would know that much, much better than I do. But is it maybe, like, are there maybe fewer African-American girls that rush, not because they don't think, like, I don't know, do you feel like there might be few of them that rush because they don't want to go through it? Like, they are afraid of what might happen. They just don't feel at home. And do you feel like that might be a contributing reason as to why there's a lower number of them in sororities? Is that maybe part of it? I don't – I'm just spitballing here.
I think that there definitely is that stigma that – I mean, it's obviously changing, but when I came through – 3 years ago, I guess, it was just common knowledge that if a minority was going to go through, they wouldn't make it past a certain round. And I think that, unfortunately, that stigma is still following us. And as, like, sorority women, we have to work, kind of like Alex said, to make it more of a welcoming environment so that they don't feel that nervousness coming through, that they do stand a chance, and they need to know that, especially with the progress we've made. And obviously, there's more progress to be had. But mm-hmm. I think that's just the stigma that follows us around.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's a cultural norm at this point. And those things take time to change unless you have people that come forward and are really willing to push and to press and to question and to keep pushing until things start to change quicker than they would if no one came forward. And even though that's a sad reality, I mean, it's a thing that we have to deal with.
And so, like, in terms of the machine's involvement with sorority integration and opening up it up a little bit more, was there any type of pushback at all to it? Was there, or was it something that was just kind of like, all right, this is something we have to do, like the times they are a change in, admit defeat, take a loss and live to fight another day? Or was there some type, I'm not saying like George Wallace level of resistance, but just like the little things, was there any hints of that?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so my very last meeting as a senator, which, ooh, praise, so glad that was over at that point. My very last meeting, a non-machine senator, Katie Smith, had proposed a resolution basically just stating that the University of Alabama Student Senate was in support of the integration of sororities. And it was voted down at our last meeting of the year. And it was a very strange thing, just because it was a resolution, which has really no action behind it. It's just a statement of support. And I remember that meeting being very heated and feeling so uncomfortable by some of the statements that my peers were making, and sitting in my seat and literally my mouth flying open at some of the things people were saying. And so I think that for me, is one of the most painful memories I have of my experience as a senator, for sure. But I think it's a good example of kind of what that pushback looked like. And I think it would have looked completely different had that resolution been proposed by a machine senator.
So let's kind of move the conversation along a little bit. And we'll go ahead and start with you, Alex, and then work our way back around this way. Because we once again, I keep beating this dead horse, but we talked about this a little bit before, is the negative impact that you feel like the machine has had on SGA politics and campus as a whole. And I just want to get a broad array of perspectives here. Is how do you feel like the machine negatively influences student life here at the University of Alabama? And do you think that campus life would be better without it?
So my ideal solution to this problem would be the machine coming above ground, just so there is some accountability and, you know, people are being held responsible for some of the issues that arise and are brought to light. The machine definitely scares people who aren't in the machine away from running from positions, and just any independents that come forward and try to run for a position or come forth with ideas, they're just immediately shot down because they're not in the machine and because they are not Greek, or some are Greek and just aren't in the machine. And I just think that's terrible, because it's just they're not a part of the system, and so their ideas automatically aren't accepted, or, you know, their bad mouth or ideas are shot down. And that's just really sad, because these people who want to run for these positions and who propose these ideas are intelligent people, and just because they aren't a part of the system does not mean that their voices should not be heard. And that's just a very sad thing to see, and it discourages people from coming forth and from putting their ideas forward. And it's just a sad thing to see, because every student is capable of that, whether you're a part of the system or whether you're not.
And something that you mentioned about the machine potentially coming above ground, that's a really good point, and I want to bookmark that. We'll come back to that in a second, but I want everybody else to get their two cents in on the original question, too. So what else do you guys think about that in terms of the machine's impact on campus? Is it negative, and how do you feel like campus life would be improved or not improved if the machine didn't exist?
I think definitely, like, healthy competition improves apathetic voters to carry on campus, like, what having their votes being allowed to be said, and just voting in general, because, like, with the last SGA election, that was the most voter count we got in UA history, and so that was just really awesome to see, like, the rest of the campus caring, because if the rest of the campus cares, then they won't have as much power as they think they have. There'll be power to the people on campus, and I definitely think, like, coming above ground, just, like, having some type of political system would definitely help.
And I don't, just speaking off what you said, I don't think that people realize that the majority lies with the, quote, independents. Mm-hmm. You know, right. Greeks only comprise, like, 30% mm-hmm. or so of our campus, and I don't think that people realize that, you know, those who are not in the machine are really the ones with the power here on campus, so.
Mm-hmm. Just created this really oppressive system, and I think that, like you guys have said, it just discourages people from coming forward. And because of that, then nothing can actually change. If there are these really great people with these really great ideas, but just having mm-hmm. that idea that it's going to get shot down, nobody wants to come forward. But as we've seen in the past, if there is that competition, if there's someone else standing up and saying, hey, this is wrong, there will always be people to come behind you and support you. And so I think overall, even though the machine is heavily involved in politics on campus, it makes everything on campus have this negative thought behind it. And I think that mm-hmm. if it wasn't as oppressive mm-hmm. in some way, then there would be a way for us to move forward.
Yeah. And I mean, look at all the incredible things that, I mean, we're a huge research university. Look at all the incredible things that we should be making the news for. But meanwhile, look what we are making the news for. Mm-hmm. And that's incredibly frustrating. And I think the other thing that really, really frustrates me the most about the machine's interaction with sororities is that the two are so synonymous, and within houses, like, I mean, we all have our different political opinions, like our real life political opinions, you know, we're Democrats, we're Republicans, and for some reason we're so much more tolerant of those differences than we are, you know, if I wanted to vote for Elliot Spillers within my house, you know, feeling a sense of being socially ostracized because of that and feeling like I was an outlier because of that. And that's something that no one should ever be made to feel. You should never feel like you're going to lose your sorority sisters or your friendship or your friend group because of who you choose to support in an SGA election. To me, that is just so, so incredibly wrong. And it is a terrible cultural fixture that we have here on our campus.
So what I'm getting here, what I think I'm getting here is a general consensus that competition is good. Am I right, ladies?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So we have an organized official campus political party here. We got Capstone Coalition. But so if the machine were to become above ground and become a legitimate campus political party structured similarly to the way the coalition is now. One, do you think that's feasible? Do you think that could ever happen? And two, how do you think that would work? What would the process be like? And would people fight it? Just anyone who wants to jump in.
I think that it's going to take a lot of outing, which is unfortunate. But, I mean, personally, I think that the only way for that to happen is to get the names together that we know, the representatives that we know are in the machine, and say, like, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to take one for the team here, and this is who they are, because they thrive off the secrecy. They thrive off knowing they're invincible because they're underground. And so if they were physically dragged out of the shadows and said, like, these are the people controlling you, why do you want to follow what they say? Then I think that's one of the only ways that it's going to be feasible. But it's just so institutionalized for such a long time, decades and decades. I know people, like, I was back home in Colorado, and there was this guy, he had a machine, like, Theta Nu Epsilon tattoo on his bicep, and he was like, wait, you're in this sorority, you know this, and I was, like, expected to know what goes along with that, and it's just, like, he graduated years ago, so, like, why is it still a thing, and it's going to take that progress of moving forward. I don't know about y'all.
Like, even
now, hold on just a second. You said something that I thought was really interesting in terms of outing people that are the reps for the houses in the machine. What would happen to intra-sorority relations if you kind of have this throwing people under the bus type of situation going on where people are being cast out in the light where everybody knows who they are? How would the sorority as an organization socially function if that type of pandemonium is transpiring?
I think that they would get the chance to feel what Haley felt. I think that they wouldn't realize, like, hey, I'm not supported, and, like, Haley had to live through that, so let's see if they can take what they dish out.
Yeah, what she said.
All righty. So what about the rest of y'all? How do you guys feel about this whole machine becoming legitimate type of thing? Do you think it's a realistic possibility?
I think it needs to happen because, like, back in the day, like, one of the doctors I shadowed, he just talked about, like, oh, yeah, I was in a fraternity that was in the machine. He's, like, a really old guy, and he's funny. And he was saying how, like, he had never voted who they told him to vote for. But he's, like, it's still around. And, like, he's, like, they've always been exposed in the past, and nothing's been happening. And so, but he said back in the day it was, like, several fraternities. But now, like, the power is growing. Like, I know every sorority is in it now, like, compared to because of what happened in the SGA elections. Like, that's just crazy. That's just, like, so many people, that's how they're trying to grow their power. So I think it needs to happen.
Yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction. Do I think that it will show everybody exactly what's going on? Maybe. Yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction for sure. But I think that there is still so much mobilization that needs to be done with other parts of campus beyond the coalition or the alliance or all of these floofy names that we have going on, which are really, I mean, pretty much almost as bad as the machine at this point. You know, it's how can we use those things productively and really unite our campus and not just under this pretense of, okay, like, here's a political party, like, this is what it does. I think that there's so much still progress to be done on just really mobilizing the campus at large and not segmenting it further.
And I know, like mentioned earlier, I really think that the only way that the machine would come above ground is through, like, a process of outing in some way, which is really sad and really unfortunate. I really feel like within the machine, there's this really huge sense of loyalty between its members. You know, they go through supposedly, or what I've heard of hazing and circumstances where they, quote, like, grow closer, and there's just this sense of loyalty between them all, and especially reps, I would say that there's no way that those people would just openly come forth and be like, yeah, we agree with coming above ground. We're going to say, you know, we are a rep for this house. And so I just don't know if that's actually feasible, if people would actually be up for doing that.
There is one more question that I want to ask you all before I let you go, is that there's four of you sitting here in a room with me right now. We can talk about it all day long, but it takes more than four people to create any given amount of social change. You guys feel very strongly about the machine and about the system, or you wouldn't have come and talked to me. But my question to you is, are there other people out there that feel like you do? How many of them? And if so, why do you feel like they're not coming forward in the way that you are? And I'll go ahead and let Haley start first.
I would say just amount of positivity that I have received, like, just through running through Homecoming Queen, and just, like, in the past with, like, Elliot running for SGA president, there is a great amount of people out there. And there's, like, a lot of people in the middle, but there's still a good enough, like, people who would, like, come forth and stand up for what is right. And those are the ones that you know that who your true friends are. And also, like, these people, like, there's a few, and I feel like in every house, there's a few that we rush, and we know that these girls are able to stand up for what is right. And so there is more, and that's another thing that besides, like, the outing, I feel like we need to, like, combine all of our minds together and, like, really kind of almost build a coalition, like, within the sororities and stand up for, like, what is right and what we believe in, and just really value that sisterhood that we all pledged for. And so I definitely agree. There is more.
Yeah. And I mean, for the four of us that you see sitting here, I mean, I would venture to say that there are so many countless individuals in every house that feel this way, but feel so constrained by the social pressure that they are afraid to come forward. And like Alex said, you know, it takes one person really to kind of start a movement. And, you know, like Haley was talking about, the support that she received last year on the presidential election, several girls in my sorority drafted an email and said, you know, our friend Elliot Spillers is running for president. This is what he stands for. We're voting for him. And the positive feedback that we received from that, the girls that said, I wish I had the courage to do what you guys did. And I know Alex has heard that so many times. I wish I had the courage to do what Alex did. I wish I had, you know, the times that we've all heard that, it's how can we encourage those women and how can we empower them to not hide in the shadows anymore and to use their voice. So, yeah, there are lots of us.
I think that there's definitely a lot of people backing us, even if we just take into account the friend groups that us four girls have. For me, it took, like Megan said, somebody standing up and saying, hey, I wish I had the courage to do what you did. And I saw one girl in my sorority, she stood up, she said, this is who I'm going to vote for. And I just came up to her and I was like, hey, that's awesome. I want to do that too. Like, how can I get involved? And it was just really comforting to know that I had supporters that believe the same thing within my sorority, within my friend groups. And if somebody doesn't stand up, I mean, if you take into account everything in history, nothing, one person stood up and said, this is wrong, like, they're not going to be the popular vote, and they might end up to be wrong, but a lot of times they end up to be right, and you remember those people that stand up. And so I definitely think there's people there, and We've got to start small. That's the only way we can make progress, is we've got to use the influences that we have within our friend groups to move forward. It's not going to be, you know, one big thing like, hey, everybody change. It's talking to people, saying, think for yourself, asking them questions, and having that conversation.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I know once I released my article, I had tried to prepare myself for kind of not being included in things and having people turn their backs towards me. And there was a time when I definitely felt for about two or three days that I was very, very alone. And it's one of those feelings that you'll just kind of never forget, because you feel like you don't have anyone there beside you. And then, you know, a couple of days later, I have these three girls sitting here with me now reach out to me, and other girls reach out to me and be like, this is so cool. And, you know, that just really meant a lot to a lot to me, because in my mind I felt like there was no one else that agreed with what I said or what I had done, and it was very upsetting and disheartening, really. But the more I started talking to these girls, and you know, I gave it some time, and the more people that started reaching out to me, it's definitely one of those things that you have to take small steps and realize that, you know, not every girl in your house is going to agree with you at all. And you definitely start with like two or three girls that stand up and be like, hey, I agree with you. And I definitely think that that's a great start, and we're making small steps forward, but at least we're going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking time to come and sit down and talk about this with me, and being so open as well, all of you. And just, I can't say thank you enough. You all did a very good job.
Anytime. Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And that's going to do it for us here at Capstone News Now. We're going to take a break, and then on the other side, we'll recap the show. But don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Voice, an alternative news source for the University of Alabama.